Okay? This is your spirit. In fact, this is your spirit right now. That's what's really amazing. How full is your spirit? It's as full as it will ever get. Paul saw that very clear. That's why he says in Ephesians 1, verse 3, you have been blessed. That's all past tense. That's aorist tense. You know what that is in the Greek? Forget about it. Once and for all. You can't get any more from God than what you already have. The problem is it's locked up in your spirit. And you're trying to live out from here. And this does not impress the world. Like I said, we can have a feel-good conference. Steve can get anointed once in a while and bring a sermon on Sunday. But we need more. Are you crying yet, brother? Praise God. And they beg that no further word be spoken. Hallelujah. I hate that when that happens when I speak. That Hebrews 12 thing, you know, they beg no further word. I'd rather be in Acts 13. And they begged Paul, please don't stop. They begged for the message of grace to continue. That's a whole other message. Where were we? Where was I? Seriously. Are we on screen? Welcome out there in television land. Huh? Jesus is doing the thing. Oh, he tells the disciples, we've got to feed these guys. What do you have? 5 loaves, 2 fish. What is that in the face of so many? Now, there's a faith killer. There's a Christian totally caught up with this and ignorant of this. So you look at this. This is the woman in the Bible, in the Old Testament, who's got a little jar of oil. And she's freaking out because she's going to lose her 2 boys to the creditor. Prophet comes in, and he sees this. Actually, it's a whole lot bigger than this. He says, darling, we got to get you connected up. We got to get you lined up. In fact, go get, and how hungry are you? How thirsty are you? Because your hunger will be satisfied to how many vessels you get. And if I were you, I'd find every empty vessel in your house, and I wouldn't stop there. I would go to all your neighbors and find as many vessels as you possibly can find. Because guess what? From that bowl and from that reservoir in heaven, it will fill every empty vessel possible. So if you're empty right now, and if you're hungry right now, and if you're incredibly thirsty right now, you're in a very good place because God's going to fill us today. He's going to change our lives today. I need to be changed. I'm tired of operating in this. This doesn't raise the dead. This can maybe deal with a headache once in a while, but this doesn't raise the dead. This doesn't get wheelchairs emptied. Are you tracking with... don't cry on me now. Just agree with me that bottom line, there's a whole lot more. And bottom line, there's a whole nother realm called the realm of the Spirit. There's a whole nother place called His place. There is something called heavenly places. And that we can get caught up and not just visit there, but maybe just live there. Now, if I'm being overly idealistic, I might as well get in my car and head back home. But I think that is the heart of God. So Jesus looks at his disciples as they are in total fear, total anxiety, total mental reasoning, and they have no clue on how they're going to feed 15,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know what Jesus is doing? He's smiling. He's having a time of his life. Are you kidding me? He's in perfect rest. Because when you're in that realm, you're always in perfect rest. He's totally relaxed. He says, boys, give me the bread. Surrender it. And it says he took the bread and he blessed it. Somebody say amen. Who likes the blessing of God? Who loves the blessing of God? And then he broke it. Ooh. I don't know if I like that thing about brokenness, Lord. I don't understand that. It's got to happen. You have to be broken. Or you're locked up. You have to be broken or you're going to remain earthbound. You'll never get there. See, the gravitational pull of heaven right now is stronger, actually, than the gravitational pull of earth. Give me five. That's a physics concept that I have no clue about math, but I love physics, even though I don't understand it. I keep reading about it. But the bigger the mass, tell me, heaven's got a stronger gravitational pull than Earth. That's why to continue to be earthbound, you got to get tethered like a balloon to the ground, and you got to really work hard to be a backslider. You got to really work hard to get Earth. Your natural desire in your spirit is to soar. Have you ever had dreams of flying? I love it because God gives those prophetic dreams of flying because that's where you're meant to actually live. Called an eagle, soaring in the spirit. Anyway, Jesus looks at five loaves, two fish. He says, give them to me. I'm not only going to bless, I'm going to break, because he knows how this thing's set up. You got my screen up there, buddy? Is it on? All right, you see that right there? Everybody understand what that is? All right. In 1905, listen to me very carefully now. 1905, this kind of weird guy in Bern, Switzerland, working in a patent office, on the side was doing physics thought experiments in his brain. Somebody say weird. And he just kind of kept messing around, never did do them on paper, just kept kind of thinking about this stuff. And all of a sudden, in the summer of 1905, he wrote five papers. Five papers that rocked the known world. You talk about getting out of a boat. He absolutely rocked Isaac Newton, who for 400 years was the man. And some of Isaac Newton's stuff is still valid. Okay, three laws of motion. All right, here's the deal. Albert, somebody say Albert. Einstein, I remember one time I was in worship not too long ago, and the Lord said, the church has forgotten Einstein. What a weird revelation during worship. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. No. Press in. First the natural, then the spiritual. 1905, Albert wrote five papers, and in one of the papers was that equation. And that equation is E, energy, or power. And there's a lot of it, and it equals MC squared. But here's the deal. You don't need very much M, because it's all about C square. Now, what's C? 186,000 miles a second. Somebody say fast. Nothing in the universe goes faster than that. Light. 186,000 times 186,000. Somebody say big. Big number. And that all that needs to happen is for C square to impact that M, in effect, split or break M, and it's released. Now, Albert came out, and they laughed at him, many of them. It was not accepted. It's called a theory. In 1945, Japan found out the theory works. And God began to pour out the Spirit in 1906. You realize in 1947 there was an explosion of spiritual power in just about every T.L. Osborne, and all kind of healing evangelists got unleashed. Many times first the natural, then the spiritual. I tell you, we're on the verge of a breakout of the miraculous. We are on the verge of people living in the realm of the Spirit. We are on the verge of people living in the high places. We are on the verge, and it's you. It's not some superstar evangelist only show in town. Forget all that foolishness. You are the body of Christ. You have Jesus Christ within you. Your spirit is loaded. Your spirit is packed. But we've got to deal with this thing called the soul. And this thing is in the way. I can't really illustrate it, but how do you get all that's in here? So you know what's got to happen? Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. You know what? God loves it. God loves it. That's why precious in the sight of God is the death of His saints. That's why precious in the sight of God is the breaking of his saints. Because he breaks. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. Take that bread and he's going to break it. He's going to break it. That's why John 12 is so precious to God. I hope we got a broom and a dustpan. I already checked. Is it an expensive cup? Isn't that right, Candy? They said it wasn't. I would have done it even if it was. That's the key to Paul. That's where Paul says, I boast in my weakness. You know what he's saying? I boast in my brokenness. Are you kidding me? I don't live in the soul. I don't trust my soul. I don't live in the realm of the soul. I'm in spirit. I'm in spirit. As long as this cup's intact, as long as this soul is intact, my spirit is locked up. My potential is locked up. The power of God is locked up. We have no idea the incredible power in that little atom. And in particular, that little nucleus. It's unbelievable. And have you ever seen an atom and how small the nucleus actually is to the atom itself? And yet within that atom, with those little electrons, protons, and neutrons, or whatever's going on in there, you split that thing and there's an unleashing of power. And so that's John 12:24. Jesus basically said, if the Son of Man remains intact, if the Son of Man remains alive, if the soul remains, no fruit, no multiplication. So my soul is troubled because my soul is going to get broken. But my spirit will be released. And I might be preaching total theory right now. Fine, I don't care. Because sometimes theory precedes experience. This is the heart of God. And basically what we learn and what we when we study church history and we look at the amazing things that happened in so many precious, precious women and men of God, make no mistake about it. A major key is their cup got shattered somewhere in the journey. Never to be repaired. But in that brokenness, they were released into a realm of the Spirit that would change nations. So I look at John 12. See, I gave you, there's six 12s and there's six 4s. We're good. I guess I'm going to do that Sunday school class tomorrow. Thanks a lot, Rocky. Praise the Lord. We're going to let Tom sleep in tomorrow. He can preach during the service. He's already saying amen. And I'm going to finish up in that Sunday school class. There's six 12s and there are six 4s. I'm going to get them on tape right now. John 12, Acts 12, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Hebrews 12, and Revelation 12. Here's the 4s. John 4, Acts 4, Romans 4, Ephesians 4, Hebrews 4, and Revelation 4. All right, within those chapters, that's why I call it the 12/4 project. I'm telling you, if churches preach those chapters, and if we begin to believe that those words become reality and become lifestyle and become flesh, we will rock Bemidji. You will rock northern Minnesota because there's so much power in there. And basically, those chapters in particular, they're all about two things. They reveal characteristics of heaven's atmosphere, and they also release keys on how to get into it. And so in John 12, you got two major diamonds. You got the woman breaking the box, releasing the fragrance. That's a church that knows how to worship from brokenness. That's what Paul's doing in Acts 16. Worshiping from brokenness. That's why he says, wherever I go, I release fragrance, because I worship from a place of brokenness. It's an incense sweet to the Lord that God gets excited about, and God releases His glory when you worship from your brokenness. John 12, the woman breaks the box. Now, the zookeepers and the rationale soul people, they're going to say it's a waste, and why are you spending all that money for something that seems out of order? Why aren't you ministering to the poor? And Jesus got to set them. You guys, you're rationally, soulishly evaluating the situation. God does math different. The woman puts in a certain amount of money, and all the rich guys put in their tithe, if they even tithe, praise God. And Jesus said, that woman put more money than all of you. God does math different. God evaluates things differently. God treasures different things. Things that we really hold dear, God's not all that excited about. He's not interested in your programs, your soul plans. He's not interested in your soul effort. He's not wanting you to try harder, work harder. He's telling you, why don't you just die and rest, sleep, relax, go for a ride. Let me take you. This is really cool. Get in my spirit and get on the train. And I'm telling you what, there is a kind of, in the spirit right now, a momentary train in the way station, and everybody get on board while you got a chance, because this train's about ready to leave, and there's going to be a heaven's agenda begin to break out. It's already happening in different parts of the world. We just need to have it happen in Bemidji. Fair enough? Where was I? John 12. Brokenness is also the seed that goes and dies. Now look at Acts 12. James dies. James dies. What happens to Peter? Peter's delivered. Peter gets a jailbreak. Peter gets a dose of power. And that thing opens up all by itself. Doors open up, chains fall off, guards go to sleep. Even the church doesn't believe it. Now guess this. They're both apostles, they're both fishermen, they're both married, they both got kids, they're both in the same church, they're both dealing with the same enemy, Herod, they're both filled with the same spirit in Acts 2, and yet one now dies, and the other one has a jailbreak. Paul was there during this entire time. If you read the last verse of chapter 11 in Acts and the last verse in chapter 12, Acts, the stories in 12, Paul and Barnabas are there. It's part of their equipping for their first missionary trip. They're checking this whole scene out. They see one precious guy die. They see another guy have a jailbreak. And as they walk that month walk back to Antioch, they look at one another and say, isn't that amazing? Go figure. The call is different. The pay is the same. They're both heroes in heaven. They're both richly rewarded. And Paul will later on write in Philippians, because he saw the link with James and Peter, the fellowship of suffering is always tied to the power of the resurrection. I die that you might have life. And so, praise God, Acts 12 has got some miracle power bursting forth. Do you believe God wants to set some captives free in Bemidji? Does God want to set some areas free in your own life? Does God want friends that you know to be set free? Does God want physical prisons and emotional prisons and relational prisons broken by the anointing and the power of God? So, I'll have my portion, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Breakfast! That's about four boxes of cereal right there. I'm hungry, Lord. We're thirsty. We got to have more. And that's not an alternative if it's broken. That's not an option any longer. You're no longer... It's not an option to live in your soul. Because it's broken. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we want to go there, live there. Lord, we humble ourselves before you, and we can only say we are willing to become a people of spirit in a whole nother place. Help us, Lord. May what is in our spirit be unlocked to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Father, help us. Hallelujah. We're not going to go to worship now, Tim, but we're going to take a break, right? Let's just chew on this and seek the Lord. And then Tom's going to come and we're maybe have one or two songs, Tim, when we come back. And then Tom's going to bring whatever the Lord puts in his heart. But can you say and agree with me right now, Lord, seal this to my heart. It may be some theory, I understand, but Lord, seal it to my heart. Seal it to my heart. Seal it to my heart. Lord, I am like Mary right now. Father, be it done to me according to your word. Be it done to me according to your word. In Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do it. I think there's refreshments downstairs. Hallelujah.